Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
TNA gets slut shamed. What that feels like and how we're handling it. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello. Are you there?
We are. The song's still playing because it's the long one. All right. Hey. No, it's fine. So Steph is tuning in from Boulder at this point.
I am. I'm checking out neighborhoods before I head east.
Right.
So it's a cool like 30 degrees and there's frost on my car. So I'm not in Kansas anymore.
It was a funny reference, but then you're like, well, I hope no one's confused. She was never in Kansas, really. I mean, LA is, you know, balmy and hot. It's gotten a little chilly. Like, I have a sweater on right now. but it is bewildering to go somewhere cold. It's like, wait, how do I even dress in this weather?
I know, exactly.
Yeah, so we're checking in and kind of doing this, I guess, extra episode bit because something really intense just happened to me. And I'm not sure if many of you caught it on social media, but there was some cyberbullying from a wife of an acquaintance friend. And it seemed to be tied to the fact that I do professional cuddling. Non-sexual physical touch for everybody. but it led to this phone call with a lot of accusations and then an attack on our social media, including some of our TNA stuff, about my promiscuity. just you know, slut shaming, which is what we called it.
It was all out slut shaming tied with the intimacy work that you do. And I feel like we just stress a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Because it was an interesting experience that I think hits on a lot of the reasons we even do this show, to create a space for women to have a sexuality and to also be allowed to own that and not be slut shamed. And then I just found it interesting that it happened. And I feel like that's my first time really being attacked in that way, to be honest. And I know a lot of women have experienced it. I know, Steph, you've had certain experiences along those lines as well.
I have.
Yeah. And I'm trying to, you know, for me, it's really the first main thing that comes up for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's not comfortable, right? I mean, it hurts. And even if you know that this person is off their rocker and everything that they're saying is really just a reflection of their own stuff that's going on and their own issues, it's still sort of psychic emotional daggers and it's not comfortable. It's not fun. And it feels like a betrayal too when it's another woman who, you know, you're supposed to be supporting each other. And there's this other woman who is like doggedly attacking.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's funny to me. Also, it's happening in this wake of the Me Too phenomenon where women are kind of banding together. And then all of a sudden I'm being, you know, targeted for, I don't know what, just like this idea of betrayal between women and accusations but the accusations being like, I'm going to degrade you by using words like slut or whore, right? Like that these words are demean you or make you less than or whatever. I don't know. It's an interesting, powerful word in our culture that's used to immediately shame or indicate to the public that person is not worthy or is a pariah. like, stay away, they're a whore. And you're like, what does that mean? but at the core of it, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, just I guess at the core of it, you're right. Like, it's processing like this kind of aggressive energy that comes at you. And I think it just highlighted for me. Well, I guess I finished sort of saying exactly what happened. I just quickly had dinner with an acquaintance friend from many years ago. And then I don't know exactly what followed after that. This person went back to their hometown, and perhaps he mentioned to his wife that I do my cuddle practice. It sounds like he said, you know, that it came up in conversation is my guess, but I don't know. And that maybe she immediately jumped to conclusions that for me to be doing this intimacy work, there was some sort of sexual exchange. Which, of course, I found myself defending, going, yes, that can be the misconception that the two are related. And there was no cuddle session. There was just a conversation about how it works. What's happening?
Yeah, well, I think it points to, you know, and I experienced this with massage and stuff, too. And, you know, it's weird. It's like women have a sixth sense about a woman who is connected to her intimacy and sexually open and comfortable with herself in this way. It's like I could walk into a cafe and it's like I could just feel women perk up and prickle up and turn on their, you know, attack bitchy. It's all just vibes and body, you know, body movements and behavior and stuff like that. But it's definitely there. And so I feel like I'm glad I liked having the conversation about like what you were saying, Christina, about it's not just about bringing down the patriarchy or changing, you know, everything that's going on between men and women and in regard to respect with women and sex and their sexuality. But let's bring it home to the ladies and talk about the ladies versus the ladies and heal some of that, because I think to me, this kind of thing, when this happens, it just reflects a bigger, deeper issue of women being uncomfortable with their sexuality. Like, for example, this woman, like there must be something going on with her, and you represent someone, you know, who is a threat potentially to her relationship because she perceives you as this person, this woman who's in touch, who's fluid, who's vibrant, who's connected, who's healthy in a way that she perhaps isn't. And yeah, or so the first instinct if you're...
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if you're just going off of sort of compulsion and not really taking it to a higher level, the first instinct is to attack and get nasty because it's scary, because it's, you know, you're coming from fear.
Yeah. Well said. Like the unknown and it triggers. Yeah. Well, what's funny is simultaneously, a friend of mine, I was coaching through confronting her boyfriend about his infidelity, that indeed he had cheated. You know, she accidentally found some, you know, text exchanges on like a different device and all this stuff. And her instinct, of course, was, you know, well, she was flummoxed and emotionally rocked and very upset at first. And I said, hey, look, why don't you process it for a day and think about what you want from this relationship? What does the relationship mean? And then we can proceed with confronting him and what that's going to look like. You know, and she ended up doing it from a very empowered, confident place. And she was really able to articulate the main points that were hurtful for her and what she needed from him to want to move forward and to want to heal this. And so it was such a sharp contrast to what was happening. But for me, what stood out, and I liked what you were saying about it, but I also just think about how our instinct is to sort of go towards the third party. And it's almost like, you know, okay, we say, oh, the answer's within, but even more so like the answer's within your relationship. You know, and looking at what is the fear there and how is this outside party a threat? It's funny. I've had a lot of conversations with Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, for I think, you know, for anyone listening, if any of these issues or situations or dynamics have come up in your life, it's like, yeah, going to the third party is a cop out in a way. It keeps you from going into the deeper work that needs to be done between you and your partner. So if you find yourself going to the third party, that's just an excuse. It's just finding someone else to blame and avoiding the real stuff that needs to be addressed. So
yeah,
I don't recommend doing that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think a lot of people's impulse is to do that. I mean, I then was on the phone with someone I've been dating, and I said, I was describing what had happened, and then also my friend that I've been coaching, and his instinct was, what? He cheated? Like, fuck that. Like, break up with him. That's done. And I said, well, that's not what I told her. And that's not what she decided, you know. And then I explained it, kind of what I just said about processing and going into, well, what's really happening here, and why are you moving away, or what caused your eye to kind of, you know, search outside of us, and having just an honest conversation, you know, about what your needs are, what your mutual needs are, you know, and how can they be met today,
right,
and tomorrow and moving forward. Yeah. So I think
you handled it really well. Like,
oh, thank you.
Can you hear? Yeah. No, I just, cause we didn't really tell people what, like how you responded.
Good point. Well, I appreciate, I called you actually, and you were really great emotional support. But essentially we decided to, of course, clean up our social media and mine. And I finally, you know, I waited a day, but it escalated, and I wrote a very, you know, calm, clear message via text to these two people to just address what was happening and say kind of what we're talking about now, which is, you know, I don't know what's happening in your dynamic. This is the events that occurred that evening, and I will assume this is our last form of contact, and I wish you all the best. You know, please refrain from any more.
Well, you did,
you know,
say
defamation.
Cease and desist.
Yeah, I did. Right. I said, you know, this is right. Defamation, harassment, and I expect it to stop now. Yeah. So right. You know, and I appreciated having your support in handling that as well. And I did have the impulse or desire to want to say more. In certain moments, you know, of course, I'm seeing what's coming in, and so it makes me want to address it in some way. I decided not to in the end, based on your experience with bullying, Stephanie, and other people in general. I've heard, you know, hey, don't engage more than once. Like, you know, the more you do it, the more it'll. I'm still uncertain about that in general. I think, you know, what stresses me about that in general is that culturally we have an avoidant preference. Like, it's like, oh, just stay away. And I sit there going, well, yeah, but that escalates energetically for people, I guess, until they realize they're alone and they stop. I don't know. I mean, but at the same time, you know, hopefully this person's partner intervened in a way that's who that person needs attention from, right? Not this outside third party.
Yeah. I mean, my experience is just that, and we talked about this, it's just that, they're not in a place where they can be sane and listen openly, really. So it doesn't really matter what you say and how clear it is. They're not going to be interpreting it that way. So you saying, if they get any feedback from you, it's just
fuel
a launching
fire.
Point for them to say more things. Yeah, right. And it's just harder to disengage and not defend yourself when things escalate.
That's
my experience, but you know.
No, you raise a really good point, which is when someone's in that kind of energetic frequency, right? They're in panic mode, or they're in a heightened state that's kind of removed from reality. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, if someone's fuming, you kind of have to like let them come back down before
like
you reengage. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Just how many days does it last?
So anyway, but you know. Yeah. So anyway, I think you handled it well. I'm glad it did not escalate or go any further. I think it's sad that she had to attack our show. And if anybody saw any of that, that's what was up.
Right.
And for any, Yeah, and I guess just for any ladies, it's like, let's not, you know, let's find the higher road.
Well,
and
I think
if you have a draw go ahead.
If you're listening and that triggered anything for you all, or you're like, well, how should I handle it, or what's our take on it? I mean, feel free to message us or social media the question, or, you know, put it out there to talk more about handling it. But yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, that's our check-in.
Yeah, it is our check-in. Ciao for now. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. You can find us on social media at TA Talk Sex. Our Patreon account, patreon.com/TA Talk Sex. And you can write us at advice@TATalkSex.com.
And you can find Christina on social media at Cree Hepburn.
Yeah.
And you can find me at The Real Stephanie Allen.
No cyberbullying.
Exactly.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.